Take your Bibles now. Let's go to, where are we going tonight? Somebody help me. Psalm, you're right. 148. Psalm 148. Let all creation praise the Lord. And that would be an apt title for this psalm. Let all creation praise the Lord. David has a lot to say in the Psalms about praising the Lord. And so tonight is no exception to that. This is one of those unusual chapters in that you do not see one plea, one prayer, one petition in it at all. Nowhere in there do you see that, but you do see 13 times that he uses the word praise. And so it's a chapter on praise. All of it is about praise. Now in the first six verses, he's talking about praising God in the glory. Praising him high, real high, up in glory. Verses 1 through 4, he tells us where God should be praised. And one of those areas is where the spirits reside. Look at verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. I believe he wants the folks up there in heaven and the beings in heaven to give praise to the Father. And you might say, well, why would a man be saying something like that? Because he's led of the Holy Spirit and he knows it's the right thing to say even to those that are there in heaven to praise the Lord where these spirits reside. If we could borrow Jacob's ladder tonight and climb up high enough on it and look around in heaven, we would be thrilled to see all of the praise that is going up for the glory of God. God is worthy of all praise. The seraphim sing praises to God, and they are singing praises to God there. You know why the seraphim and the other angelic beings were singing praises to God? One reason is because they knew he was the Creator. And they were praising him for being God, the Almighty, everlasting Creator. Listen to what Job said in chapter 38 and verse 7. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In the context was creation. They were there giving God praise for all that God had done as they observed what God was doing in creation. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Why? For Thou hast created all things. God, you're worthy to be praised. You've created all things. I like the fact that he talks about the hosts that are there. What does that mean? Let the host praise him. The host that he's talking about, besides the seraphim and all of the angelic beings that are there, I believe he's referring to those that are the redeemed. All that are saved, all that have come under the grace of God, there in the Old Testament, especially in the context that he's talking about. Let the redeemed give God praise. You see, God can manifest his power. He can manifest his power and speak, and there will be creation. But when he manifests his love, God required suffering, and that suffering was from his son, Jesus Christ. And we ought to praise God tonight that Jesus was willing to suffer, willing to go to the cross, willing to do what he did in order to save our souls. We were lost. That's what he was singing about a while ago. And yet God came into our life and saved our souls. We have reason tonight to praise him, but they're already there in heaven. They're on the other side of the Jordan, and there they are praising him. Don't worry about your loved ones that died in Christ. They're not bored up in heaven. Heaven is not a boring place. They're up there giving God praise and honor and glory. I don't know exactly how they do all of that, but I know that they're able to do it. And the psalmist said, let the redeemed, let the host give God praise. And we know the Bible talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. And that's where they are tonight in the presence of God, giving him praise. And I think praising the Lamb for what the Lamb has done for them. And someday we'll get to do the same thing. Maybe sooner than some of us think. I don't know, but only God knows that. But it won't be so bad when we go to heaven. We'll be there with the Lord, and we'll be the redeemed, and thank God for His grace. So he says, where the spirits reside, let them praise the Lord. And then where the stars revolve, in verse 3, let that area praise the Lord. Praise ye Him, verse 3 says, sun and moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light. David talks a lot about heaven, doesn't he, in the heavenlies, and rightfully so. And he says, the sun praises the Lord. When's the last time you tried to just stare into the sun? Could you do it? Not with the naked eye, you couldn't do it. You might if you have some sunglasses, and then you probably couldn't keep staring at it long. You see, it just reveals to us the glory of God. Who could make such a great ball of heat like the sun but God Almighty? Who could speak it into being? God. How great is God? When we stop, we just take the sun for granted. But you study the sun, and I've given you some of the things along about the sun and the statistics. But my friend, it's an amazing heavenly body. And our God just spoke it into being in divine fiat. God put it right where He put it. And if it were to be too much closer, too much further away, we'd be in a mess. We'd be freezing to death or burning up and all of that. But thank God, the sun glorifies the Lord. The moon is to praise the Lord, and I believe it does. The moon, the people that are involved in studying it, the astronomers, they say that it's a dead body. But I tell you that it's still praising the Lord, because that body reflects the sun. That body, the moon, has a lot to do with the rising of the tide and the dropping off of the tide. You know why? Because God made it. It's a wonderful and glorious body. Let the sun praise God. Let the moon praise God. Let the stars praise God. And the stars can shout out, God is the hand that made us, and He knows our name, and He knows when to dissolve us, so let us stay. God is the one who is praised by all of that. In verse 4, he says, where the sky reigns, they are to praise Him. They are to praise Him up in the heavenlies. They are to praise Him there, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then verse 4, praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but there's an ocean above our heads a lot of times. And here lately in Texas, there's been a lot of that. We needed the rain. But above us, there's the oceans. That's what he's talking about. Let the heavenlies up there, the heavenly of heavenlies, praise God. Let the fact that God can make the clouds, and the clouds do what they do, go to a desert, rain on the desert that needs it, and the clouds be involved in all that they do, the lightning, the thunder, all of that should remind us of Almighty God and His power. You see, God causes all of that. God made all of that. What about the rainbow? I saw a double rainbow the other day after one of those storms, and I said to my wife, come look at this. And it was a beautiful double rainbow. Do you know who that reminds me of? Not the homosexuals. Not the ones that have perverted it. Isn't it amazing how the devil tries to take everything like a good word, gay, and make it a bad word? There's nothing gay about the homosexuals. They're the most depressed people in the world. The suicide rate among homosexuals and lesbians is probably one of the highest in the country. And there's nothing happy about them. They need the Lord. We want to see them get saved. Stop that sinful lifestyle. Now, of course, that makes us a cult, and we're real bad people because we just believe the Bible. But the rainbow is not a symbol of the homosexuals. The rainbow is a symbol of God and His Noahic covenant that He made with Him and said, well, I'll never flood the whole earth again. And I can remember being a little bitty boy. My mama would tell me, look at the rainbow. And you know what the rainbow means? And then she'd tell me what the rainbow meant. And I'm glad she did, amen? I'm glad that she taught me what the rainbow meant. And the rainbow reminds us of God. The clouds are important. The Bible talks a lot about clouds. In fact, the Bible says the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, how did he go up? They looked up, and the clouds received him up to the right hand of the Father. Oh, that's not all either. He's going to come back with the clouds. And thank God, in a visible, literal body, he's going to return in the clouds. The clouds are important, and they praise the Lord. So he's saying God should be praised everywhere by everything. Let everything praise God. God wants to be praised, and he wants us to praise him. Now, why should we praise God? Why should God be praised? Well, look at verse 5. He's giving us some reasons. He said, because he originated all things. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He's talking about all those previous things, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For he commanded, and they were created. Oh, but I thought it was a little tadpole. I thought it was a big explosion and all of that. Well, one of these days there will be a big bang, but the other big bang is not what the Bible's talking about. Thank God, God, you know it, and we know it, and the midweek prayer meeting group knows it, that we didn't evolve. I'm no kin to the monkey, no, the monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't hang from a tree. Some of them did, but some of yours did too, probably. Once it was a tadpole long and thin, then it was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, then it was a monkey in a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. Amen. You believe that malarkey? I'd rather believe the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God and what he tells us about it. The Bible tells it very clear right here. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. The sun, the moon, the stars, all of these things, the clouds, all of it, God took care of it. He made them. And so he is the one that did it. He originated all things. He even originated the archangels. And the archangel, the one was higher than any of them, the seraphim and the cherubim and cherubims, all of those. God made all of those. They didn't make themselves. And they are the spirits that he's talking about also. Verse 6, he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. They did not create themselves. These mighty beings did not do it. The archangel, the seraphim, and the cherubim, but God created them to praise him. And there was one named Lucifer, the archangel, who made him. God did. But isn't it amazing? God gave him choice. God gave that being choice. And he took his eyes off of God, and he began to praise himself. Let me tell you, folks, when we start praising ourselves and quit praising God, we're in trouble. And even this Lucifer, the archangel, took his eyes off of God and he became Satan and the fallen fiend that you and I know of today because he wanted to praise and he didn't want to continue to praise the Lord. Verse 6 reminds us here that he ordained all things. God ordained all things. And so he controls all of those things, the bounds of the skies, the boundaries that are there, the stars, the spirits. God puts them in their place. They stay in their place. God does that. The rainbow is there because God put it there. God is the holy sovereign that ordained all things, verse 6 tells us. He ordained cloud land, and he ordained star land, and thank God he ordained glory land. And that's where I'm going to wind up, in glory land, because God ordained it. He has a place that is prepared, and I'm thankful that he did that. Now, we are to praise him also, not only in the heavenlies. Let's come back down to earth a little bit. And the psalmist says, let's praise him right here on the earth. Let's praise God right now, right here on the earth. Verses 7 through the end of the chapter, that's what he's talking about. And he takes a look, the psalmist views our planet in verses 7 through 10. And what he is doing, he is again calling on all things to praise the Lord. Verse 7, he calls on, first of all, the restless sea. Look at it. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. He's saying we need to look down and understand that everything that God has made. You know, there's some strange creatures down under the water. I don't know if you've ever done any snorkeling or anything like that, but I remember doing some in Hawaii one time, and I saw a great, big, giant turtle. And I didn't know I could swim so fast, but I took off. There are a lot of things under the water. And the Bible says, the psalmist is saying, let them praise God. There are giant squids down there. There are huge swells. I hope we get to see some of those huge swells while we're in Alaska and you're burning up here in Texas. But at any rate, as we go on that trip. But thank you for the trip. But anyway, man-eating sharks, vicious things, all of that. You think God's not in control of all those things? Ask Jonah. You say, well, it was a big fish. It didn't say a whale. Well, you call it whatever you want. I can tell you one thing. It was a big fish out of the water, and he swallowed him, and God did exactly what God said he was going to do with him. And when he got through him, he spit him out upon the shore and said, go on over there and preach like I told you. And he did. God used the whale. Not only that, he used the fish. And, you know, some of you may relate to this now, tax time. And so he said, hey, if you want tax money, go catch your fish. It's got a coin in its mouth. How in the world did he know that? And he went out there and caught that fish. Some of you be out there tomorrow fishing. Lord, the tax man's coming. I guess that's over with now, except unless you file late, but whatever. But all of that. And then you think God doesn't control the fish? Whenever he said to Peter, he said, throw the net on the other side and watch this. You see, God's in control of everything. The stars, all as far as you can think out there. Anything between there and here, down here on earth, down below the earth, all of that. And he is saying again, let the restless sea give praise unto the Lord. And then let the raging storm give praise. Verse 8. Fire, lightning, that type thing, and fire, and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind filling his fulfilling whose word? His word. There are no accidents with God. These fulfill his word. Cyclones, tornadoes, hurricanes, all of those things. You see, all they're doing is obeying the laws of nature that God has put into place. And they're just being obedient to him. God decreed that. You think God's not in control of the storm? What about on the Sea of Galilee when that storm came up? They can come up real fast on the Sea of Galilee because there's just a natural way, a wind tunnel that comes down from Mount Hermon down through that way all the way to the Sea of Galilee. But whenever Jesus, they got him awake, you know, and he said, peace be still. And just like a master talking to his well-trained dog, they laid down, tucked tail, and did exactly what Jesus said. Because he's in control of the wind and he's in control of the waves. And the disciples said, even the winds and the seas obey his voice. How great is our God? Just how great is our God? I'll tell you, we probably just don't think about it enough, how great he is. He goes on to say, let the rocky steeps praise the Lord. Verse 9, the first part. Mountains and all hills. Let the mountains and all hills praise the Lord. Well, I have flown over the Alps and I've seen their high points and some of the other things. The Himalayan mountains, you Coloradians, the Rocky Mountains, all of that. But all of those things throw our attention, should, just like that one on the screen, to God, the peak of it. As a matter of fact, the great cathedrals in the world. We saw a lot of those of you with us in Israel. And in other places, you see them. I've seen all kinds all over the world, Rome, everywhere else, these great cathedrals. But the architects copied the mountains when they put the spires on these cathedrals. You say, well, I just thought it was a decoration. No, there was something behind the reason they did that. And the reason they did that was to take your mind off of the beauty of the cathedral, lift it up above it, on up above it, on up above it, until you looked all the way to heaven. That's why they designed the spires on those great cathedrals. And so the mountains praise the Lord. And they ought to remind us of God's beauty and God's creative work and all of those things. And so these are like silent fingers pointing to God and saying, there is a God. And God is above all of this. And then he goes from the mountains to a rural scene. I'm a country boy, so I like that. 9b and 10, he's talking about it, the latter part of that. He says, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Let all this stuff praise the Lord. Let them praise the Lord. Those fire ants. Somehow, I don't know how they praise the Lord. I got scars all over my hand from that last batch I got into, and they won't go away. I thought they would be gone by now, but it's sort of hard for me to preach that. But let the fire ants praise the Lord. What about bees? Can you explain bees? Can you explain a hummingbird? A hummingbird aerodynamically should not fly at all. But I love to watch them. I just absolutely love to watch hummingbirds. They're fascinating. If I have a little time to sit on my patio and we've got that red sugar juice out there and they come and I try to talk to them and watch them and I'm just amazed at them. Absolutely amazed. Not much bigger than that finger and those little wings. And they're flying. I don't know how fast those wings are going, but I tell you, only God could design that. Lockheed can't come close to it. I'm not sure they can come close. Never mind. But anyway, how many Lockheed workers we have? No, never mind. That's all right. You all do a good job. I'm glad we have your airplanes. But all of this, whether it's the cricket, you ever heard cricket singing? You ever heard of too many of them around your house singing? Where'd they learn to sing like that, you know? I've been to places where the crickets were so thick on the front of the stores or whatever, you couldn't hardly get in them. But all of these things that we can't explain, they all praise the Lord. They're all just talking about God's wonderful design. Now, I know there's been a curse since then. That might explain the fire ants. But at any rate, God makes all of these things. And he says, let all of this, let the cows and the horses and everything else, make you think of the glory of Almighty God. Then the psalmist views all people in the next few verses. Verse 11, he looks at the heathen. And he says, the kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Boy, he's covering it all, isn't he? He's not leaving anything that shouldn't be covered. He's talking about that, and it's a call to praise for the sovereigns to praise the Lord. Did you know that Paul reminds us in Romans 13:1 that the powers that be are ordained by God? You think God's surprised at who our president is? He's not. He knew before he ever got elected he was going to get elected. I'm not going to say a whole lot more about that. But all I can tell you is that God has a permissive will, and God has a plan, and God will allow certain things throughout all of these areas, whether it's kings or princes, to be in place to accomplish his will. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I'm not a Calvinist or the son of a hyper-Calvinist or anything like that, but I can tell you, God is a sovereign God. And God is in charge of all of these things, and he delegates the authority, and the minute he's through with the one that he doesn't want to delegate it to, he can wipe them out, and he will. And he can cause confusion. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was going to do all kinds of things. And he got so proud and cocky and arrogant, and God said, that's it, bud. And he went insane. And he was crawling around like an animal. And he came to a conclusion after that, I'm not so hot. I'm not so great. And Daniel 4:37, he said, here's his conclusion. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Saddam Hussein, not whoever it was that just got killed, the honor of the King of Heaven, he said, all whose works are truth. He finally got the message, didn't he? See, God is sovereign, and if God wants to bring down a leader, he can do that. And he wants his subjects to praise him, the little boys and girls, maidens, old men, children, wants everybody to praise him, little ones. I love to see our little kids get up here and sing. You know, they get up here and they sing and they do all kinds of things like, whoops, you know. Or they'll, you know, or they'll do something like that. Or they'll, like that, you know, looking for grandma or daddy or whatever. And some of them go, they wish they weren't up here. But you know what? They start singing. What are they doing? Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Isn't that good? I love to see them praise the Lord. I'm glad mothers and daddies have them in church where they learn to sing good songs instead of that junk that's out there in the world. Songs that glorify and praise the Lord. Thank God for little children who are able to do that. And he wants them to do that. Our youth praise the Lord. I'm glad that our youth, our young people, can praise the Lord the way they live, the way they sing, what they do. They're upstairs somewhere right now being taught. They're in church, and they're, Brother Gillett is teaching them and showing them the things of the Lord. And they come up sometimes and they sing praise to the Lord, or they are serving the Lord in some way. We had one of them sing in my Sunday school class Sunday. It was a blessing to see him come and sing. And what a blessing that was. Old people also can praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord in all kinds of situations. You know what? God wants us to do that. Now, he's just simply saying again, all the people of all of the lands, all of the beings in heaven and anything in between, all the people of all of the lands, let them give God the praise. Now look at the cause of it, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? Why, psalmist? For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. That's who he wants us to praise. His name means something. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah. We've talked about that and what the word hallelujah means and all of that. And he was to be praised in the New Testament. We call him Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, the Son of God, the living God. And we praise him. We don't praise Allah. Allah is not God. We do not praise Buddha. Little fat guy, we don't praise him. Too many of us Baptists are beginning to look like them, but we're not. Well, we don't praise Buddha. We don't praise Allah. Do I hate the Muslims? No, I don't hate them. Would I want them to be saved? Yeah, I'd like to have them be saved. But don't be naive. Their religion is a religion that's pretty rough, if you know about it. They need Jesus. They need to be born again, just like anybody else, just like Roman Catholics, just like anybody else. But we don't praise Allah, and we don't praise Buddha, but praise the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who died for us. He said that the Hebrew people ought to praise the Lord. Look in verse 14, the Jewish people. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Is any doubt in your mind that they're God's chosen race? He tells us over and over in his word. And the word horn here, when he's talking about it, he says, he also exalted the horn of his people. The word horn there is a symbol, or a horn is a symbol of power. It's like an animal with strong great horns, or like a unicorn with one strong horn. They are very, very powerful, and that's what he's talking about. Daniel in Revelation talks about that. He's talking about rulers. The horn symbolizes those rulers of those times. It says wild animals with horns. Who is the horn of Israel? Jesus. He's the Messiah. He also exalteth the horn of his people. Jesus is the horn of the Jews. They don't realize it right now. Right now, some of them despise Jesus. One of these days, when they are rescued from Armageddon, they're going to believe that Jesus is the horn of their salvation. They're going to believe it. They're going to know it. And the privileges they enjoy, even the children of Israel, people near unto him, he said, you ought to praise God for the privileges you enjoy. The saints are his favored ones, the praise of all his saints. And we ought to thank God for that. He refers to no other nation in this way like he does Israel, but it's a nation that ought to give thanks unto the Lord. The position they enjoyed, they wandered away. They were never forsaken by God. God made a covenant with them. He's brought them back. He brought them back out of Babylonian captivity. He brought them back after they were spread all over the world. And Titus in 70 AD and all of that. And now they're back in their land. I was just over there. It looks pretty good to me. It's prosperous. It's growing. It's and the people are coming back. And that movement is a powerful and strong movement. And God is regathering them in our day. The rebirth of Israel in 1948. None of these are accidental. But they ought to be praising God. Someday they will. Someday they'll say, oh, that was the Messiah. That's the Messiah. And they'll get it right someday. Everything ought to praise God, including you and me tonight. Amen? We ought to praise him because he created us. Praise him because he redeemed us. Praise him because he sealed us by his power. Thank God he preserves us. And thank God he sustains us. And thank God he hears us and protects us. And he knows us. And he cares about us. And he satisfies us. He should. And he comforts us. And he will be with us in our hour of death. And not only that, thank God, we ought to praise him. He is going to come back for us. And he's up there right now preparing a mansion. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many little rundown rooms. No. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you and I who are saved may be also. Amen. Isn't that good? Not because I'm saying it, but it's good. Because it's plain old Bible. He's prepared a mansion. I feel like shouting hallelujah. How about you? Let's stand, please. Let's stand, and we'll have an invitation if you want to come. Whatever your prayer need might be tonight, if you should be here without Christ and not saved, you can have these same blessings if you'll accept them. We can just maybe just come and thank him. Oh, he said, let everybody... Let the young, let the old, let the middle aged, let everything above, everything below, everything on earth, let us praise his name. Lord, we don't really even know how to enter into the right kind of praise. But we know we're supposed to praise you, and we do praise you tonight. For who you are, your power, your omnipotent, all powerful, your omniscient, you have all knowledge. You're everywhere present. You're right here tonight. And you're indwelling the believers in the form of the person of the Holy Spirit. God, we have so much to praise you for. Help us every day that we live to not try to take the praise for ourselves, which is so human, so American. But help us to give praise to you. Where we go, what we say, what we wear, how we serve, all that we do. Let us give you praise. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it.